الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. There are certain categories who have been exempted and absolved from fasting. One of them is an elderly person, a man or a woman, who is, because of his old age, unable to fast. Naturally, no year or no age is prescribed. A man or a woman who cannot fast because of his old age is his own judge. If he feels that old age is now preventing him from fasting, he will not fast. Such a person may be 70, may be 80. But if he or she feels that fasting is not harming at all, then it is wajib to fast. Not only that, but if an elderly person after the month of Ramadan somehow feels that he can now fast or she can fast, it is mustahab for him and her to give qadha also. But this, of course, is judgment of the person himself and herself. There are people who try to be old when they are 40. They are not old. Now then, if fasting is absolutely difficult, which is in Arabic called bam ma'al mashakta, mashakta is so difficult to fast for him, then such a person will not fast. But that is, of course, between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe because of some illness or sickness or whatever, then such a person also is exempted from fasting, but he will pay fidya instead of every fast which he leaves out. Then, if a person is suffering from an illness of thirst, there is an illness which causes excessive thirst, so much that he cannot bear without drinking water, then such a man will not fast, and he will give mud of, that means three-quarter of food, material gain, grain and all that, as fidya. A lady, a mother who has got advanced pregnancy, if she feels she cannot fast, or if she has been advised by the doctor that she or the child she carries will be harmed by fasting, then she will not fast, but she will pay qadha later on. For the elderly people, there is no qadha, as I told you. God forbid if a man or a woman is suffering from such illness from which he is never cured, and he cannot fast because of the illness, but the illness is never cured. For example, there are certain cases where we are told by the doctors that this patient cannot fast. He has got to have medication every day, whether Ramadan or after Ramadan. That means there is no question of paying qadha, because there is no time. All through 12 months he is suffering from the same disease and he has got to have medication. Then that man will not fast, but that person will give one mud of grain. There are diabetic cases, there are asthmatic cases, there are many other cases where people cannot fast because they must have medication. Well, then they will not fast. That means if the excuse continues for 12 months, then there is no qadha, there is fidya. But this is only excuse of illness, not excuse of safar. If a man is constantly traveling for 1 year, and he says, look, now this is, for one whole year I have been traveling, could not fast, sorry. That will not apply. The only udhr and the only excuse that is applicable is illness and sickness. The breastfeeding mother If she feels that the milk she has is less because of fasting and she cannot breastfeed the child to its fill, if there are no other to help her, like there may be some foster mothers who can also provide milk. If there are none, there may be some wet nurses who say, we will provide milk. If there are so many to help, then she will fast. Agha Sistani says that when there is an alternative available, that mother cannot escape fasting. It is ishkal. Or if the doctor says that now is the time that instead of simply depending upon breastfeeding, start giving the child food, solid food, little by little, or other preparation of milk, which is those shopkeepers know, I don't know. But there are some preparations of milk which are given to children instead of mother's milk. If the doctors advise that this can do and the child will survive, then the mother will fast. But when there is no alternative and she is the one who has to breastfeed and milk coming is less and it is harmful to the child, she will not fast, she will pay qaza later on. These are the ones who don't fast, and the ladies who see their period in the month of Ramadan, they don't fast, they pay qaza after Mahram. Well, men don't see periods, therefore they have to fast every day. And these are the things which we know that is wajib for us. Now, going on the subject that we have been discussing, the second step, what a coincidence it is that I have thought of a subject which exactly rises from the theme of what Zishan has just said. But sometimes, as they say in Farsi, dil ra badil rahist. The mind has a way towards the mind. Sometimes it is telepathic that we think of the same. He is in his house and I am at my house and we think on the same lines. And the second step, yesterday I said the first step, because we now are coming step by step towards a new path. A path which we must explore, not to content ourselves only with coming to the mosque, reading dua and going away. Because something within you always tells you, but you try to strangle it. Within us there is a voice, find out something more about our existence. Why are we here? From where are we here? And where are we going to? What is happening around me all? Is this a dream? There is a voice, there is an inner voice. But we try to strangle it. When you strangle it quite often, then it stops talking to you, and then we are busy with the same cocoon, silkworm cocoon. So yesterday, we were discussing the first step, and the first step was to be able to entrust everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Early in the morning when you rise, the first dua that we have been taught to read is وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. There is a dua of Namaz al-Subh, which has to be read every day. Even in the month of Ramadan, we have other adaiyah to read, like يَا عَلِيُّ يَا عَظِيمُ and اللَّهُمَّ أَدْخِلْ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ سُرُورًا. All these adaiyah are good and they are from Ma'sumin alayhi wasalam. But that dua which is to be read every day in the morning is also there. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. I entrust everything, every affair of mine in the hands of Allah. Allah is most seeing. Today, in order to enter into this path, after having entrusted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affairs, the second thing is to be humble. This is exactly what he said. Humility. That means, in this vastness of the universe, think as I think. The universe is so vast that we, as human beings, are a member of a society And because of our size and our number, we are so insignificant. Allah has created this universe, and the members in this universe are so many, and of so many types, that we as human beings are just an iota, an atom. What are we? Nothing. And then among the millions and myriads of human beings, one man, what is he? Yet, he or she thinks that he is very important. Without him, the society will collapse. Without him, the family will collapse. Without him, so many things, businesses will collapse. Nothing collapses. For no one in this world is indispensable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many people. But this pride which comes in is the pride which gradually enters. Now, the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us was of importance. But we stressed it very far. When I come from the house, out, or even from here, I look around here and there, no car is passing, and then I cross the road. Why do I do that? Because I love myself, huh? Because somebody can just drive over me and finish me for nothing. Shaheed-e-Raya Khuda. So I look right, and then I look left. There's no one, then I pass. Or if I pass and somebody stops and says, Bismillah, then I pass across the road. This very fact that man is cautious about himself everywhere depicts his self-love. So for once, maintenance, security, safety, loving oneself is a good character. But we took it so far that early in the morning you find a man looking at regarding himself at the mirror. No, then he looks at himself this way. Sideways, how does he look? Right? And then, no, that is not enough. Then he stands this way. And then angular, and all that. He looks at the mirror. Is he a madman? He is not. He is trying to look at himself how the people will look at him. You understand? And what will people think about you? I mean, I'm not talking about you all, I'm talking about an old man like me also, when he stands up before and puts a sherwani button. Sometimes if he does not regard himself properly, he puts in the wrong buttonhole. And then people come and say, do you have a wife at home? Nobody is telling you that you have put this button in the wrong hole? Well, regarding oneself up to that extent was also good. But when man starting thinking of oneself as something, that is called ujub. Ujub means loving oneself, self-conceit. That is a time when all the problems begin. When a man thinks in himself that there isn't one like me, it is coupled with la'nat. Suppose I am a student of, say, religion. I went to my teacher and my teacher complimented and said, MashaAllah, very bright boy you are. And he went on teaching me and he went on complimenting me for my brilliance till there comes a time that I think that all others are duds. Hamchu mandi gari nist. There isn't one like me. What happens, you know? Immediately when a student starts thinking that I am the best, progress stops there and there. That is the la'nat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the progress is only for one who is still considering himself inadequate and wants to go further and further. But when one sets a limit by just complimenting oneself, then he does not go further. He stops there. That is one thing. That is why in Nahj al-Balagha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, one who has got ujub. Ujub means loving oneself. الذي له عجب إنه عدو عقلي. He is عدو نفسي. He is the enemy of himself and the enemy of his own intellect. He is the enemy of his own intellect. Because there is no one else harming him, he is harming himself. From there rises another thing that is now showing off others by treating them in takabbur. Somebody comes and talks to me, I consider him useless. People talk and express their opinions, I don't at all heed them. You see, everyone in my estimation is just useless. I am the one. Now this may be because of ilm, this may be because of wealth, because of beauty and handsomeness. As far as beauty is concerned, women will know better. But even men would know. Allama Majlis Alayhi Rahma said when Yusuf Alayhi Salaam was young, of course he was more handsomer than when he grew up, naturally. When you are young, you are still fresh, my friends. No wrinkles here and there. Your skin is as soft as it should be, like a petal of roses. You are still young, my friend. Your handsomeness is different from the handsomeness you create as you grow up. He looked himself at the mirror one day in the morning, Jalabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and he said, Alhamdulillah, what features Allah has given me. If I were to be sold someday as a slave, if at all, only Allah knows how much price I will fetch. Perhaps the treasures of the kings would not suffice to buy me. That's all, that much. And as we all know, Yusuf was once sold by his own brothers. When they put him into the well, Quran says, they put him into the well, and a caravan passed from there, wanted to draw water from the well. Instead of drawing water in that particular tumbler, then Abu Yusuf sat down. Some fellow shouted from there and said, oh friends, there is some treasure in this well because it is very heavy. When they brought the whole tumbler out, they saw Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf! Handsome young boy. So they thought that we will sell him and get some money out of him. And he was sold. Quran says, فَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. They sold him with very few coins, even those coins which were not in currency. That means had no value. This is the answer to what he saw in the mirror. That you thought that you will be, when we are sold, you will be sold for millions. فَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. When a man thinks that he is something, now here shaitan comes in, there is something deeper than that. When I hear Mawlana's telling me, oh Mullah, calm down and be mutawadi'. Mutawadi' means humble. Mawlana's come, member from member, they say, mutawadi'. Quran says, be mutawadi'. Du'a-i Kumail says, be mutawadi'. So gradually we try to build to be mutawadi'. For example, one of the signs of tawadu' is that sit wherever you get the place. Now, in a place like this, where mashallah everybody is sitting and mu'mineen and this is full, you can sit wherever you sit. I mean, there is, you don't become small. But don't wait to come up to the place where you normally sit, you see, because it is your daraja, there is no daraja, sit wherever. Tawadu, one of them is say salam before anybody makes salam to you. Salamun alaykum. To initiate salam is sign of tawadu. You don't wait for people to say, Huzur, salam alaykum, hum bhi zinda hai. Say salam. They are small things. If you are riding, say salam to those who are walking, even if you are riding a Mercedes, huh? Or you are riding double R, whatever. The one who rides says salam to others. Not to show his car, but for his humility. The humbleness, that salamun alaykum. One who is sitting high says salam to those who are sitting low. Ulama have to say salamu alaikum to the people who follow. This is how we have been told. Small things, cultivating the habit. In salat, when you stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand with your shoulders bowing down so that it is one way of showing tawadu before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happens? The danger. As a man becomes mutawadhi, main to aapka nokar hoon. In his mind, he is not thinking of you, main aapka nokar hoon, main to aapka boss hoon. But what he says is, huzur, main to aapka, no, I'm just a slave. Or, if you say, mashallah, you are a great man, he says, badon ki maut ne humko bada kiya. That means, the great people have died, so now we are the ones who are remaining. These are the people who show off to be very mutawadhi, but they are not mutawadhi. Why? Because now, just mark the word of Shaykh Tusi alayhi rahmah, I'm just repeating. He said, because they are proud of their humility. Allahu Akbar. When someone becomes proud of his even humility, that means he is now proud, thinking that I am humble. Then shaitan is now hitting him with double sword. At once he is making him mutawadhi, he is also making him proud to nullify that tawadhu. So be very careful, my friend. When tawadhu sets in, and humility, it has got to set in perfect way. Not to cheat oneself, to say that I am mutawadhi. So then, the Prophet was sitting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with his companions, and they sat with him. Allama Ali Akbar al-Nahawandi writes in his book, Khazinatul Jawahir, Fi Zinatul Manabir, a book I read many years ago. He says that a man entered and he said, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you went last night for Mi'raj? The Prophet said, yes. You must have met all the prophets. He said, yes, I met. Look at what Peygamber said. Usriya bi ila samaa wa la fakhr. I was taken to the heavens, but there is no question of fakr. Bu'ithtu nabiyyan wa la fakhra. I have been sent a prophet, but there is no fakr. Ana sayyidul arabi wal ajam wa la fakr. I am the master of Arab and Ajam and no fakr. So you went and saw all the prophets? He said, yes. Did you reach the fourth heaven? He said, yes. Did you see a mimbar there? He said, yes. He said, Ya Muhammad, on that mimbar I sat for 2,000 years, those years, not years, teaching malaika what is the meaning of tawheed. And when I used to go there on mimbar, sometimes my tasbih used to fall down from my hand, then the lines after lines of malaika used to rush to give me that tasbih in my hand back. That was my status and prestige. Now tell me, Muhammad, was Allah justified to drive me out of Jannat only for refusing sijda of Adam? After having gone to sajda for 6,000 years. There is a shayar in Urdu whose name is Zawq. He says, Bade muzi ko mara, nafse ammara ko gar mara. If you really kill your nafs, which orders you to do sin, Bade muzi ko mara, you have really killed a very harmful thing if you kill that nafs. Bade muzi ko mara, nafse ammara ko gar mara, nahango ajdahao, sher-e-nar mara, to kya mara? in place of it, if you kill a crocodile or even a python or even a lion, it's all useless. Kill one's own nafs. Gaya shaitan mara ek hi sajda na karne par, agar lakhon baras sajde mein sar mara to kya mara. That sajda was important, for that was the command of Allah. And to say no to Allah means to be proud of oneself. And he was proud, for immediately Allah asked him, وَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدْ. When all the malaika went into sajda, and he did not, Allah asked him, why did you not go to sajda? And he answered, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You have created me of fire which glitters, while he is made of clay which is dirty. So now, Ya Muhammad, is there any way of restitution so that I may go back where I was? The Prophet said, yes. Here, there is a grave of Adam. Go and do sajda before the grave and say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayk, and may Allah pardon you. He said, Ya Muhammad, are you in your senses? A person who did not do sajda before the living Adam, will he do before the dead Adam? I'm going. But the Prophet said, this is the meaning of that la'anat which follows you up to the day of judgment. And remember one thing, and I say this for the sake of the love of our community. Please, 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 never say, in Hadith Qudsi Allah says, Al-Kibriya'u Ridai. Kibriya means to assert one's greatness. Ridai is my clock, is my clock. No one has got right to wear that cloth which I have worn. Al-Kibriya'u Ridai. This is only mine. The only thing which I least tolerate, Allah says, is someone asserting his greatness. And small, small talk. When somebody says, do you know I'm rich? Bas. That is the end of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie. Do you know I am an alim? So what? If together with all these things there is tawadhu and humility, then we are entering the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala next. Assalamu alaikum.